Hello, everybody. Hi. Let's see here. Okay. So, hi, thanks. this will be an interesting thing to get used to for a little while. But welcome to our online class. Looks like we have I don't know, about 10 people here so far. I see your chat messages, so that's cool. You can turn on your video if you want. Might be nice to see everybody's faces, but you don't need to. And then of course, if we have any bandwidth issues, we would turn those off. But let's see. So now normally what I do in this review session is have you guys work together for a little while on the test, since everybody's kind of, probably most people are basically on their own at home, then that's kind of not going to work. So maybe we will jump right into questions. So I'm going to join another screen so that I can have a whiteboard. So first of all, can you guys hear me okay? Thank you. Good. Okay. let's see now. All right. Just going to start up the All right. So do you guys have this practice test in front of you? It's on our schedule page. You can find it there. And what I'd like to do is just go over some solutions with you. So basically work out some of the problems, anything that you guys want to see, and also answer any questions. Feel free to turn on your audio if you want, or your video, anything. I definitely want to hear questions from you. okay, so I'm going to share my screen, my whiteboard now. See if that works. All right. So this is where we can write stuff out. All right, that works. How are you guys liking this new way of temporary, hopefully, way of life? Wish I could hear somebody hear you here, but let's see, before we actually start this. Okay, so can you guys see the whiteboard? Okay. Hello, everybody. Yeah, okay. Hello? Oh, hi, great. Hello, welcome.
Hey, I am currently in the rain, but so for the Zoom, sorry, I'm sitting outside the Starbucks, but do we just follow the links, right? That's what we have to do.
Yes. Okay. So in the announcement that was sent via iLearn, you follow the link. Yeah. It should be fairly straightforward. And Zoom has both a software you can download or a web version. So you can hopefully
Yeah, browser. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It also works in a browser, I believe. So, All right.
Okay.
So let's get started with some practice problems. See how that goes. Or does anyone else have anything? Any questions? Does anyone have any questions they want to ask before we start? Any questions or comments? I'm trying to erase this. There we go. Okay. Let's see here. So I'm going to. Hold on a sec. I'm also just getting accustomed to this interface. I'm going to mute this person. All right, so let's start working on some problem. Okay, I see a question here. So question, is the final just on the content after the midterm, or is it cumulative? The final is just on the content after the midterm. So the midterm was everything up to and including all of ray tracing, and the final is everything after that. Now the Lab 8 is optional. You can that you can submit it for extra credit. If you do choose to submit it, please submit it by the, let's say by 8 p.m. on Friday, the end of finals week. So you have all of the week, regardless of when your lab was. Any other questions? Okay. So does anybody have, if you have, hopefully you've pulled up this practice final. Do you guys want me to start with any particular question on the final? 23. All righty. Which practice final we're using? Go to the course schedule page. Do you know where that is? I will find a link for you right now to paste into the chat. If you go to the course schedule page, it's right at the bottom of that. It's on our schedule. So here we go. Go here. And it's a scroll all the way down to the bottom to a review session, and that you'll find it there. All right, so question 23. Let's see what that says. That's a multiple choice question. OpenGL perspective projection. Okay, so thanks. Yeah, OpenGL perspective projection. Does it preserve parallel lines? So we talked about how, you know, orthogonal projection does preserve parallel line. Perspective projection, if you think about what happens when you draw something in perspective, parallel lines converge at a vanishing point. And so the perspective projection will not, quote unquote, preserve parallel lines. They won't stay parallel in the projected image. B, preserves the Z ordering between the near and far planes, but not necessarily everywhere else. So how many people think that one is right? I wanted to ask you, didn't ask you about the first one, but how many people think B is right? Type in the chat window. True or false, B, 23B. I see a true. True. Nice. Yes, good. Okay, B is true, yes. So it's, yeah, exactly. So it's someone, Reuben's here saying definition of Z buffering. It's absolutely necessary for Z buffering that the order be preserved between the near and the far planes. The stuff that's visible, we have to know what's in front of what. So we derived it. Yeah, we actually derived the perspective projection to preserve the ordering and to preserve the near and the far. So that is the true one. C preserves the Z ordering everywhere. Well, so C is not true because it will flip stuff from that was behind the eye. It's a linear transformation in Z. It's not linear in Z. So linear in Z would mean that we could use the definition. If something would be linear in Z, it would the definition of linear. I'm gonna write this on the whiteboard. So a definition of linear, that's not the right drawing tool. Here we go. Definition of, if it was linear in Z, then it would be like a function of Z such that like stuff could get pulled out in front like this. It would satisfy that definition of linear in Z. That if we had it like this, this is what it would mean for the function to be linear in Z. But, well, actually this is not completely correct because the function, when we say linear in Z, it just means that, this term, this should be taken with a grain of salt. This is generally what a function that would be a linear function of Z would look like. But linear in Z just means that really what is meant is that the Z term, there are other terms in the functions because it's also a function of X and Y and other stuff. So the Z term only appears like without any powers up here, just the power one. And it only would be allowed to have a constant in front of it like that. But there would be nothing like Z squared or something over Z. This is nonlinear in Z. So this is nonlinear. And we know that our perspective, this is kind of the key about perspective, is that we have to divide by Z in order to get the perspective projection. Remember our first thing we looked at was like these similar triangles. And we found that if something was like at a height of Y, then if once it was like projected onto this near plane, if this was its Z, then basically we had like Y over Z was like Y prime over near. And so Y prime is just near times Y over Z. So the fact that the Z appears here in the denominator means that it's a not a linear function in Z. This is what it would be to be linear in Z. Hello, nice to see some faces. okay, so definitely D is false, and E is an affine transformation. So also this 1 over Z is not it's not in the form of an affine transformation either. So that's also false. So B is our best answer here, that it definitely preserves the Z ordering between near and far, but not necessarily everywhere else. All right, next question. What should we talk about next? And how do I get another? There we go. Okay. Anyone have another question they want to look at?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, hello. Hi.
Hold on.
Yeah, this is weird.
Weird, like, playback.
This is weird. You guys are welcome to unmute and ask questions. When you're not talking, maybe it's better to stay on mute so that there's less background noise. But awesome, thank you. But yeah, when you wanna ask a question, you can either type it into the chat, but since we don't have like a huge number of people and it doesn't seem like it'll be an issue, you can also just unmute yourself and ask if you like. So, okay. Okay, so I see a question here in the chat. Another question 35, and then we're gonna do question 35, but I'm gonna first answer James's question here. Translation, yes, is an affine transformation. So let's clarify this. What does it mean to be affine? So affine means that, so first of all, a function that takes some x is an affine function if it basically has the form like this. It's going to be a matrix times x plus maybe a translation or something like that. So this is the general form of an affine thing, that a vector x will get multiplied by this matrix A, and then you can add another constant to it. That is affine. Now, the way we encode affine into our 4x4 things is by putting the A into here, in the top left, and we put the T into here, and then we put zeros and a one here, and then we have X here and a one. Now what that gives us is, if we multiply this out, is it gives us A X plus T and a one in the bottom. So you see how it achieved the computation of this affine function through a single matrix multiplication. Because normally you cannot apply, without this extra one here down, and without augmenting our coordinates into homogeneous coordinates, we would not be able to do a translation with a matrix. But by taking our coordinate, our point x, and augmenting it with this extra one, we were able to encode an affine transformation into a matrix form. So yes, so this is what, so to answer the question, translation is an affine transformation, correct. So a pure translation is identity times x plus the translation. So this is a pure translation. And encoded in our homogeneous coordinates, it looks like an identity matrix in the top left, the translation piece, and then zeros and a one. So that this is a pure translation. All right, so next question. So the last one that I was talking about was question 23, the multiple choice question 23, we talked about that. Oh yes, thank you, Dom, I already answered that. Okay, so now let's go to 35. Okay, so this is question 35. And fun stuff. Okay, so now we're going to use the de Castillo algorithm to evaluate the position of the cubic Bezier curve with its control points. Okay, so we're told where its control points are, and we're asked to evaluate it for two different parameters, U equals 0.5 and U equals 0.75. All right, and we'll take the advice of the problem and draw a sketch to help us. So it's cubic Bezier and it has these four control points. So let's draw them. They're like this, because we're told that it's basically 0, 0, the control points, and then 0, 1, so that's this one, 1, 1, and 1, 0. So that is it. And so we expect it to look something like, well, actually, if I want to find the halfway point, which is the first part of the task, so I want to find it, I want to evaluate it at U equals 0.5. Now the de Castillo algorithm says, okay, if you want to evaluate at some fraction, at some point between 0 and 1, in this case 1/2, we take every single line segment and we are going to divide it into 1/2. So let me pick a color here. How about red? Okay, so halfway between the first two points is that point. Halfway between 2 and 3 is there, and 3 and 4 is there. And now I connect those with line segments. And now I'm going to repeat the process until I can't anymore. So I'm going to do it again. Bisect the segments at point to with a 0.5 and connect the dot. And again, another color, bisect them. No more dots to connect. So we're done. So that point, the last one I drew, is actually on the curve. And in particular, it is the point, this green point is the point F, if the curve is represented by F of U from U between 0 and 1, then that green point is F at 1/2. And so my curve is going to look something like this. It's going to go through that point and that point. That's kind of what it looks like. Now the question asks me to evaluate the position of the curve. So I need to actually find this. And so what I'm going to do is actually find the red points, find the blue points, like mathematically compute them. So let's go ahead and do that. Okay, so first of all, this red point over here, this first red point, it's halfway between the two endpoints. So it's at 0, 1/2, like that. Okay, next point, halfway between those. So it's at 1/2, 1. Okay, question here I see. Isn't the green point at 1/2, 3/4? It might end up there. Yeah, you could, looks like it is, you're right about, definitely right about the 1/2. And then it is halfway between 1/2 and 1. Yes, you are correct, Ruben. Good. So we're just gonna go through though and do it. Again, so now we're gonna average between the and points 3 and 4. So it's at 1, 1/2. Okay, now on to the blue point. So now this blue point is halfway between the two red points. So basically what I'm doing is just averaging the x's. So the average of 0 and 1/2 is 1/4. And then the average of 1/2 and 1 is 3/4. And then same thing over here, the average of the 1 and 1/2 is 3/4. And the average of 1/2 and 1 is also 3/4. Okay, so we have our blue point. And finally, our green point is the average of these two blue points. 1/4 and 3/4 is 1/2 as we expect, because the x position should be halfway through. And the average of 3/4 and 3/4 is again 3/4. So there is our answer. And so our final answer is 1/2, 3/4. Yay. All right. So Ruben's question was, wasn't the green point just 1/2, 3/4 by geometry? And yeah, actually the de Castillo algorithm is this purely geometric way of finding it. So another way of finding it would have been to actually write down, remember our like cubic Bezier curve formula where we said, okay, it's P0 times the first basis function for the cubic Bezier and B1. But, and then we'd have P2, B2. This is just an aside that the other way of finding it would have been to plug in for U 1/2 into this formula and then the P0s. But really what this formula would do is just compute the same thing we computed with the de Castillo algorithm. So de Castillo algorithm is kind of a nice way to do that. Let's do you guys want me to do it again for three quarters? Okay. Yeah, so we'll do it again. All right, we have the same control point, so it's the same curve. It's just now we're asked to find it at the 3/4. So we're gonna find f of 3/4. So we're gonna do the same thing. We'll do our red points. Now they're 3/4 of the way along the, now they're 3/4 of the way along each line segment. So here's about half, here's about 3/4 of the way along the first line segment. Here's about 3/4 of the way along the second line segment and 3/4 of the way along the third line segment. And I'm going to connect those in order. All right, and next I go again 3/4 of the way along my new line segments. Connect those. And the green one is 3/4 of the way. And that is going to be a point on the curve. So our curve, just it's the same curve as before. We're just finding a different point on it. Remember, we had found like a point around here. So our curve still looks like that. It's just we're now going to find the green point. Okay. So let's now write it out. And we're going to do exactly as we did before. We just need to do averages. And so it'll help to write down our points again. 0, 1, 1, 1, and 1, 0. And now we'll find the red point. So the x is an average between 0 and 0. That's going to be 0. And the y is we're 3/4 of the way to 1. So we're from 0. So it's 3/4. Now over here, the x is 3/4 and the y is 1. And down here, x is 1 and y is actually 1/4. Okay. Any questions so far? Do the blue one now. All right, so now we have to do 1/4 of the first point times 3/4 of the second point. So I'm gonna use some scratch space here. So 1/4 of 0 plus 3/4 of 3/4. So I'm taking 1/4 of 0 and 3/4 of 3/4. So that's 9/16 for the x. And oops. 9/16. And for the y, I'm going to take 1/4 of 3/4 plus 3/4 of 1. And so that's 3/16 plus 3/4, which is 12/16. So that's 15/16. Because I'm going to turn this 1 into a 4 over 4, basically. So I have only 16ths in the denominator. So that's 3 plus 12. Yeah, 15. So let's write that. That's 15/16. So the numbers are getting, they're not as nice as in the previous example. But the previous example, as like Ruben pointed out, you can basically do it without really working through it. You can kind of see what the answer will be. And this one kind of is forcing you to really work through it. Okay, so now this final point, we're going to average between the x's. So that's 1/4 of 3/4 plus 3/4 of 1. So then again, did I make a mistake doing that earlier? Oh, no, because it's my x this time. Okay. Yeah, so it's again 15/16. So that's my x. And now my y this time is 1/4 of 1 plus 3/4 of 1/4. And so this 1, I'll turn it into a 4/4. So that's 4 plus 3.
Quick question.
Yeah.
What point are we doing right now?
What problem?
No. What point?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm doing this point right here.
The midpoint or the...
This blue point, I'm doing this one right here.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And now we can finally do the green point. So now I'm doing this one over here. And it is going to be, again, 1/4. Let's do the X first. So I'll write this up. So the X is 1/4, 9/16, plus 3/4, 15/16. Let's see. So this is going to, 4 times 16 is 64. So that becomes our new denominator. And we have 9 plus 45. So that's 54. Okay, and for the y's, again, we have it's gonna be 1/4 plus 3/4. And for the y's, it's 1/4 of 15/16 plus 3/4 of 7/16. So over 64, that's 15 plus 21, 36. And that is our final answer. That's the one we were looking for. If we did our math right, then this answer is correct. If we didn't, then we're wrong. Okay, it does match what's in the solution. So we at least matched that. So this is our answer. Okay. Yeah, I'm actually saving these. And this video is also being recorded. So the whole review session, including whiteboard and video, is going to be available afterwards, which is kind of nice. All right, so this was problem 35. Continue here. And we're done. Any questions on this? I'll put a link to this on the schedule page again as soon as we're done. And so we'll link to this. Okie doke. I see. Did I miss any questions? Yeah. Okay. So let me come back here. Yes, the lecture is being recorded. Yes, you will be able to view it after the review session closes. And we can talk about 33 and 34 now. All right, so let's do 33 first. So in this question, we're being asked to find the inverse of the rigid body transformation that is given by this thing. And we have 0001, where R is a 3x3 rotation matrix and T is our 3 vector, which is a translation. So we need to find the inverse of this. Okay, so let's look first at what this does to a point. 0, 1, I'm gonna write it like this, and I'm gonna apply it to the point X written in homogeneous coordinates. So since I wrote X in homogeneous coordinates, it's just its coordinates up here and a 1 down here. So if I apply this, it's gonna be R times X plus T times 1. So that's plus T, and then 0 times X plus 1 times 1. So there's a 1. So this is what it does to the point X. It gives us the point RX plus T. So meaning that it would first rotate X and then add a translation to it. So if we want to undo that, if you want to undo this transformation, how would you undo this? How would you get X back?
No clue.
No clue. Good answer. Okay. Minus T and divide by R. Yes, so that is essentially it. So first, let's subtract off a T. So the first thing we would want to do to this point to get it back, so here's the point we now have. We transformed it. The first thing we're going to do to it is subtract off the T. How do we subtract off a T? We do a translation, a pure translation, by negative T. So I'll write it like that. So this is translate by minus T. And now divide by R. If essentially, yes. But with matrices, we don't divide. What do we do instead of dividing? we multiply by the inverse.
Inverse, yeah.
Good. So I'm just going to multiply by the inverse of R. And there's no translation in this piece. There's going to be a 1 here. So this is the inverse of R. So basically, we just want to encode R inverse here. But what is the inverse of a rotation matrix? Anyone remember? It's transpose, yes. So I, instead of inverse, I can actually write up here transpose, because I'm going to use the fact, so I'm using the fact that R times R transpose is the identity. In other words, that R inverse equals R transpose. So I'm using that fact. Okay, now that should undo it. That should give me back x and 1. So it should completely undo the original transformation, meaning that this should be the inverse of the inverse that I'm looking for, these two matrices, the product of those two matrices. I'm going to add a new page here. Let's see, minus t. Yeah, so we did, let me put that in here, copy that over. Okay. So first of all, we can multiply this out. Well, first we can check. Let's check if we're right, Rx plus T. And if we're right, this will give us X and 1 back because it's the inverse. So if we're right, we'll get back, we'll recover X by multiplying the thing by its inverse. And in particular, it was because this was my RT01 times X1. So this thing will be the inverse of the thing that's circled will be the inverse of my RT matrix if it does check out. Okay. Now I'm gonna multiply these together to get the matrix. So R transpose times the identity is R transpose, and then plus 0 times 0 is just 0. So that gives me R transpose up here. I'm going to find the four pieces of my matrix. Now I'm going to take first row, second column. First row, second column. So that's negative R transpose T plus 0. And now for second row, first column, I have a 0. And second row, second column, I have a 1. Okay, so I think this is my answer. This is my inverse. And now I'm going to check. I'm going to multiply these two out together. If I get the identity, then I did it right. Okay, so doing again, first row times first column, I just get R transpose R. And then I get R transpose T. That's the, now I'm doing first row times second column, this one. So R transpose T, and then minus R transpose T. Good. So far, so good. Second row times first column, 0. And second row times second column, 0 times T plus 1 times 1, 1. So this together, these give me identity, 0, a 1, and a 0, and that checks out. So my final answer is this matrix right here, is my final answer. This is equal to the inverse of this original matrix.
Can you go over that, like, last part?
Yes. So just why, how I could conclude that it was the inverse?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
Or just like,
All right, so let me do that. Let's say I have a matrix A, any matrix, and I have another matrix B, and I want to ask the question, is B the inverse of A? I can check the following thing. I can check that B times A is the identity. And if I do get this, then it tells me that yes, B is A inverse. So in the last problem, we did two things. One, like we reasoned about how to, we reasoned about what the inverse should be. By knowing that the original matrix gave us Rx plus T, we reasoned that the new matrix should basically do a do two things. First, it should translate by minus T. And then two, it should rotate by R transpose. So this was kind of, we could kind of figure out what the inverse should do by reasoning. And from here, we know how to write down a matrix that does this. It's a matrix that first translates by minus T, and next rotates by R transpose. And if we multiply those out, we got R transpose minus R transpose T, 0 and 1. So that tells us that we think this is the inverse of the original matrix, the matrix that does this. Now, the final thing we did was just check it by actually doing the product. By that, we just did a check of R transpose minus R transpose T, 0, 1, times R T, 0, 1 here. So our check, and if we multiply those out, we got identity 0, 0, 1, and that confirmed it, that we did it right. So this thing is indeed the inverse matrix. Any other questions on 33 before we move on to 34? Nope. Okay. So let's do 34 now. Excuse me. All right, so 34, we're being asked to do part of this process of deriving bunding functions for Bezier curves. We did this in class on the board, and so we're gonna follow the same steps we did in class. Okay, so part A. Write down the 4x4 matrices C and P such that C times the A's equals P times the P's. So this is really, this one is, first of all, getting the equations, because they're not given to you completely here. Like, you're given that F of 0 is P, but you have to write out what F of 0 is in terms of the A's first. So let's do that. But we need to get to this linear system. So we'll write down what we're given. Okay, so we're given F of 0 is P0, F prime of 0 is 3P1 minus P0, and F prime of 1 is 3P3 minus P2, and then F of 1 is P3. Okay, so now we need to write it, I'm gonna write these in terms of the A's. So first, we already have an expression for F of U above. It's A0 plus A1U plus A2U squared plus A3U cubed. Now we need the one for F prime as well. So, oh, thank you for the bless yous. All right, okay, so if I differentiate, I'm gonna differentiate the first expression above with respect to u. Okay, A0 is constant, so 0 when I differentiate with respect to u. This term is, when I differentiate with respect to u, I get A1, then this term I get 2A2u, and finally that term is 3A3u squared. Okay, so I'm gonna need these for the expressions above. Okay, so now I'm gonna plug in. So here's F of 0, I need to plug that into this one. And if I plug in 0 there, I'm only left with A0. And actually I'm gonna write the A0 over here, all the way over here, because it'll be convenient. Okay, next, F prime at 0. For that one, I'm only left with an A1.
Excuse excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Is that U squared? On the FU. A2U squared?
Yes, that's a
okay,
U.
Okay, okay, sorry.
There you go. My twos are a little bit like Z's sometimes. Okay. Now, F prime of 1, if I plug in a 1 to the second equation down here, and I get A1 plus 2A2 plus 3A3. And then finally, F of 1, I get A0 plus A1 plus A2 plus A3. Okay, so I kind of lined them up this funny way to, I lined up like all the zeros and all the ones to, because it'll be easier to convert it into matrix form. In fact, if we do that over here too, we would have a P0, and then we have minus 3P0 plus 3P1. Over here we have minus 3P2 plus 3P3, and over here we just have the P3. Okay, so it's gonna, this is gonna make, just make it a little bit easier for us to write it into a matrix form. Now I see a question here, does the ordering matter for C and P because of B? All right, so yeah, in a sense, yes. If you switch the order, like the first four equations are given to us in a particular order. If you were to reorder those, you would get a different C and a different P, and because of that, you would also get a different C inverse P. In this problem, it wouldn't matter if you did that, then you would still get full credit because it's really the same four equations, and you would still be able, you would still ultimately derive the same Bezier blending functions. So it really ultimately would not matter. But in part B, we're already given that B is C inverse. We're already given the expression for B. So if you just go with that one for part B, then you will answer part B the same way as everybody else. Okay. But let's finish. So okay, let's finish writing down C and P now. So now it's a matter of converting this thing into this matrix form. So I'm going to write down my A0, A's over here, A0, A1, A2, A3. And there's going to be a matrix over here, and then a matrix here, and P0, P1, P2, P3. And basically, we can read off the coefficients now from here. Since there's no A1 or A2 or A3 here, that's just zeros. But so if I start reading off the coefficients, going the coefficient of A0 is a 1, and then there's no A2, no A3, and no A4, et cetera, there. So so I can just write zeros for those, 1, 2, 3. Now I'm going to, I could go across to the P's, but I'll just go down, do all the A's first. There's no A0, and now I'm on the second equation. So there's no A0, so that's a 0. There's an 1A1, no A2, and no A3. Third equation, no A0, A1, 2 times A2, and 3 times A3. And then in the last equation, each of the A's has a 1 in front of it. 1, 1, 1, and 1. Okay, so now what I have here, that matrix which we're calling C times this vector of A's, it would give me back this left-hand side of my set of equations. And now over to the right-hand side. Okay, so first equation, P0 has a coefficient 1, and all the other P's have zeros. And then I have a minus 3 and a 3. And then 0, 0, minus 3, and 3, 0, 0, 0, 1. Okay, so this, let me see here. Erase that. Okay, so this thing here is my matrix C, and this thing here is my matrix P. Okay, so that, with that, we're done with part A. Anybody have questions on part A? Okay. All right, now let's go on to part B. So we're not, nobody asked us, to, I mean, we didn't, we're not being asked to actually find B, because I don't want you to guys to try to figure out the inverse of a 4x4 matrix on the final. So you're just, we're just, for part B, we're already given what B is, which also means that we don't have to, if you miss part A, you could still get credit on part B or vice versa. All right, so in part B, we need to, we're given this matrix B, and now we want to find the cubic Bezier blending functions. Okay, so we had C times the A0 times the A's. Let's see, let's kind of see where we are, what we had so far. And then we had C inverse times P. So then we like multiply both sides by C inverse. So that gave us the A's are equal to B times the P's. So that's what we know so far, that this B matrix gives us a relationship between the A's and the P's. Okay, so let's go back to getting the blending functions. F of U is A0 plus A1U plus A2U squared plus A3U cubed. So that is, we could also write that as 1U squared U cubed times A0, A1, A2, A3. And we want to get, our goal is to get rid of the A's and to get the P's in there instead. And we have this relationship here that allows us to do that. So for, we're gonna replace this vector A with the B times the P's from the starred equation. So this is 1U squared U cubed times B, and then times the P0, P1, P2, P3. So the blending functions that we're looking for are exactly these, this part right here. It's just 1U squared U cubed times B. That's the blending functions we want. Let's find those. So we just, from the last page we had, F of U is 1U squared U cubed times B times P0, P1, P2, P3. And we want to find these blending functions. So let's calculate them. So it's 1U squared U cubed times the matrix B. And we're given what B is. And now we will do the algebra. Okay, so we're gonna take this row vector times the first column. And that would give me 1 times 1 minus 3 times U plus 3 times U squared minus U cubed. Now the next, I'm gonna do it again for the second column. First row, the row vector times the second column. So I have a 0. And then 3u minus 6u squared plus 3u cubed. And this, at this point, this is where you just kind of want to be really super careful with the algebra. Okay, next one. Well, I have 2 zeros here, so I don't need to worry about those. And then those would just give me 0. So then 3u squared minus 3u cubed. And then my last one only has 1 non-zero, which is the u cubed. So these are exactly my blending functions. This is my B of 0 of U, because this is the one that would multiply above here, that would multiply the P of 0. Since this vector is just these functions down here, the first one is my B of 0. And then this one is my B of 1, B sub 1. This one is B sub 2. And this one is my B sub 3. And that's it. So So the process of finding the blending functions was really just taking this vector U of U's times the matrix B, like that. And then it gives you the blending functions. What I showed you up to this point was the reasoning behind why those are the blending functions. But the way you find the blending function is just this vector 1, U, U squared, U cubed times the matrix B. Okay, this session officially ends. I was going to use our regular class time. We can go a few minutes over if you guys have more questions. Yeah, so officially we at the same time as the class ends, 1:50. Anyone have another question they want to do? The answers are already posted on the schedule page, as you probably saw. We had also one of the ones we did not do was the transforming the triangle. We did quite a few of that in class. So also we didn't do this written problem 31, which is writing down the transformation matrices. So take a look at that in the solutions. The format for the final is kind of deliberating right now between two possibilities. One is basically having a similar final as this. It would be do it yourself at home. And it would basically, I would just post it at the time of the final. I would actually let it be open book because given the unusual circumstances, I think it's better to just allow it to be open book. Then you would be asked to take a picture and upload to iLearn before the end of the final time. And if you had a problem for someone learning uploading, as a backup, you can always take a picture and email it to me or the TAs. If anybody, it would be the normal 3 hours. In response to a question here in the chat. And if anybody has any issue with this idea, then let me know. The other option I was thinking was some kind of online exam format, but I don't really see a significant benefit to that. I see another question here. Can we have 30 minutes more to submit? So the 3 hours is probably, since the final is kind of the same length as the midterm, which was a 1 hour exam, I think we won't add more time, but it, it's going to be the length of a 1 hour exam. Yeah. So, if you're having some issues, let us know. If you had an issue with iLearn, let us know. We will be flexible. I understand these are like kind of unusual things, but we'll definitely be flexible if you're having some issues. Let's see. So I think that's about the only thing I had to say. Any other questions?
Thanks for the review.
Yeah, it went. Thank you guys. So let me answer a couple more questions over here. I'm not sure what Cody missed. I mean, Cody, I'm not sure what you were asking me to repeat. Can you clarify that? Okay, and Glenn, is it safe to assume that the difficulty of the final will be the same as the midterm and this practice final? I think that's a fairly reasonable assumption, so yes. Okay. Submit. Yes. So now to submit, what I'm asking you to do is to basically take a picture with your phone and send us the pictures. And double check what you've sent us, uploaded to iLearn. And if you have trouble uploading to iLearn as a backup, email us. But yeah, we'll create an iLearn submission. They don't need to be converted to PDF. No, you can, photos are fine. I personally like to use, there's Google Drive. If you use Google Drive and you have the Google Drive app on your phone, you will find, it has like a, like, I'll show you. Okay, so here's Google Drive, and you can go to Google Drive, and there's a plus sign for adding a document. You can choose scan, and that actually, what scan does is it actually basically lets you take pictures, and it makes a PDF for you. So it takes pictures, and you can keep taking pictures, and you can make a multi-page PDF if you want. That is one option. I do recommend practicing, just trying that out, you know, like making sure you have, you know, how you're going to take a picture and submit beforehand so it doesn't become like an issue. Although, like I said, we'll be flexible and understanding given the unusual circumstances. But yeah, so, all right. If there are no further questions, okay. So Steven's saying this is possibly only on newer phones for the Drive feature. Yeah, again, you can just do photos. So I was just, I personally like to use the Drive. It did also work on my previous phone, which wasn't that new. So at least a few years back, it's been working, the Google Drive thing. If you don't have access to a printer, yeah, that is fine. Write your answers clearly on a piece of paper and submit. Again, I might try to do the true, false, and multiple choice as a just an online form. I think that would be the easiest. And then for any written part, that part we'll photograph. So I'll be investigating, you know, possible solutions. So I'll send out an announcement if there's about what the format will be. But yeah, we might be able to do the true, false, multiple choice online. So yeah, the final is going to be, all right, so we're keeping our final time. So it's Wednesday at 7 p.m. The final is Wednesday, 7 p.m., which, so you'll be doing it during that window still. Okay. All right, so I'll be also looking on Piazza for other further questions. And otherwise, you'll hear from me more details about the final, but just giving you a heads up about kind of one possibility. All right, thanks all. This actually, I think, worked fairly smoothly. I'm gonna post the recording and the whiteboard notes. So thank you very much.
Have a good break.
Have a good break, everybody. And stay healthy.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.